I'm super excited to first off finish up this trip in Colombia. I had an amazing time here, and then I'm off to Florida to go hang with some friends and clients, and then a conference in Florida as well. And then I'm going to Atlanta, Georgia. I'm going to be meeting up with some group members that are throwing a little event with me. And then going to LA, doing the same thing, get my West Coast group members together. Santa Barbara with the family after that, back to Seattle, and then New York, Spain, and then back to Colombia. So I'm just going all over the place, really just experiencing a lot of things, meeting a lot of people, and just continuing to push on so many of these different directions of my business and my brand, and making some great progress.
This is the Angles of Latitude podcast, session number 84, with millennial entrepreneur and digital nomad Arnie Jiske.
This is squadron leader confirming hostiles inbound. Prepare for battle.
What you're about to hear is the integration of life.
Clarity is power.
If you live each day as if it was your last, someday you'll most certainly be right.
Liberty.
We choose to go to the moon.
It's happening.
And all things geek.
Yeah, I'm not sure I know how to answer that.
You got a badass over here.
Welcome to the Angles of Latitude podcast.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another session of the Angles of Latitude podcast. Thank you for joining me today. My name is JC Preston. In this session, I'm with our millennial entrepreneur specialist, Daniel Postma. We're part of the team at New Inceptions, a website dedicated to helping people find their own personal freedom. And in this podcast, released each Thursday, we bring you life lessons or a message from successful entrepreneurs, experts, and artists to help you do your life's work and live a lifestyle that you're proud of. This session is powered by the Traveler's Mindset. Today's interview is a great example of someone who's living life on their own terms. And a part of what they wanted to do when they were making their current business was make traveling the world part of their day-to-day norm. And while you might not want to do that yourself, maybe you just want to travel abroad a bit more than you actually are. Just like other people who want to live their life to the fullest, you probably have an itch to go experience more than you're used to. And in fact, maybe it's going to be the first time that you wanted to head out of your country. If so, that's great. But do you know where to start in your travels? I'm sure you have tons of questions. And what if there was a place where you could get all your questions answered inexpensively? And I'm not talking about some random travel agent who doesn't get out of their office. Instead, I'm talking about a guide that comes from someone that has made it part of her career to travel and help others do the same. And that guide is Ginger Kern, and she is the one that came up with the Traveler's Mindset Travel Savvy e-course. You know, it answers all kinds of questions: what to do when you get to your destination, how to choose where to stay while you're there, and even what to do when things go wrong. You know, these are all valid concerns that many people who have never traveled abroad have. And if you want to get these questions answered, and many like them, you can check it out at newinceptions.com/travel-savvy. Again, that's newinceptions.com/travel-savvy. That's travel savvy. Okay, now today's guest is someone that I'm really happy to get in front of you guys. He's someone that has been really been doing some great work in the last year or so with his digital marketing firm. But he's also started a quickly growing Facebook community that's focused on helping millennial entrepreneurs as a whole. And as you'll hear in the chat today, it's blossomed quite a bit in the last year alone, amassing to today's current count of over 8,000 members. On top of this, he's also doing that travel thing that I spoke about in the promo, but he's not necessarily calling any one place home. Well, other than where he's originally from, which is Seattle. Instead, he actually travels from place to place to place as a digital nomad. You know, I talk a lot of trash about the education system we currently have, and it's simply not preparing people for the world we live in today. But there was definitely one thing that I got during my tenure at Purdue, and a further appreciation of different cultures. You know, I was constantly meeting people from different parts of the globe, and I have to admit, I missed the feeling of engaging with new people all the time in person. Since then, many of those friends that I met have gone back to their home countries, and because of that, I get to see these images online about their lives and their cultures and all these different things. And I got to say, I can see why some people would want to become digital nomads, because it really sounds like an interesting life and you're constantly experiencing new experiences. In this conversation with Arne Jeske, Danielle and I learn about this lifestyle of his early experience as a pedicab driver, and plenty of tactics that he uses to not only grow his group, but his business as well. I will give you guys a heads up. This chat is packed with a lot of great information. We really cover a ton of topics in a short amount of time. So be sure to check out the show notes at newinceptions.com/84. And of course, I'll be on after the show to fill you in on anything we might have missed. Hey everyone, welcome back to the show. JC here, and joining me today is co-host Daniel Postma. How you doing today, man?
Yo, doing really good. Thanks, JC.
Awesome. Awesome. Today's we're actually joined by a guest today who is a young entrepreneur from the Seattle, Washington area who has he started multiple businesses since he got out of high school, actually. And these businesses have ranged from working as a pedicab driver to insurance and, you know, finally finding a niche in digital marketing, which is where he's in today. And over his tenure in that digital marketing niche, he has worked with dozens of contractors, such as on mobile apps, website development, email marketing, graphic design, LinkedIn marketing as well, and basically works with business-to-business type organizations. He's also the founder of a thriving online community of millennial entrepreneurs and has been recognized for his work on a handful of podcasts and media outlets such as the Huffington Post, and is a contributor for Wisden Times. And today he finds himself focused on growing his impact with his community, which we'll learn more about here shortly, his company, and his podcast. And he serves emerging and established entrepreneurs worldwide. And today's guest is actually Arne Jeske. And welcome to the show, Arne, and glad you're here, man.
Yeah, thank you so much for the opportunity to come on. I look forward to sharing my stories and letting the audience in on some of my best strategies about business building and networking and marketing and everything else.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of tips in this one, I'm sure. I got to ask you, as I was doing some research on you and finding out more about you, you know, you seem like, to me, someone that figured it out at an early age that the normal 9-to-5 wasn't going to be necessarily for you. I mean, your first job out of high school was as a pedicab driver. That's kind of, for one, just, you're going to have to describe what that is, because even Daniel's like, what's a pedicab? And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, that's hilarious. So explain what that is, and, you know, when you found that the 9-to-5 thing wasn't going to necessarily work for you.
Well, I think ever since I was a kid, I've always been a few things that led me into entrepreneurship. And those things are, number one, being stubborn, number two, being creative, and number three, being very tenacious and hardworking. Mm-hmm. So, you know, having those attitudes since I was a kid, I was always a rebel trying to make my own path, you know, make my own hustles, whether it's selling lemonade or water bottles on a hot day. And really just trying to, skill up all throughout. So yeah, like you said, that later brought me to, pedicab driving. So it was funny how I got into that. Actually, I was, applying for some jobs, and I was looking back through my phone. I was going to call this one place back and try and get through them to talk about an interview. And while I was looking through my phone, I noticed I had saved the number for a guy named Mike, and I put his last name as Pedicab. So I had taken a ride with this guy, and I saved his number because I thought it was so fun. I'm going to call him up and get a ride another day. Mm-hmm. And then the wheel started turning in my head. I just remembered how fun that was, how much fun he was having. And I thought, you know, I'm young, I'm healthy. That seems like kind of a cool hustle. I'm gonna call this guy up and see if I can get working with him. And that's exactly what I ended up doing. I gave him a call. He said, come on down. You know, we rent these bikes. So if you seem like a good fit, we'll get you signed up, get you on a bike, and you can get out there and start making some money. Mm. So for people that don't know what pedicab is, it is those giant tricycles that have a seat on the back, and they're very common in places like New York, a few out in Seattle. You know, they're all over Asia. But yeah, Seattle, there's a great little market for it. Just a ton of hustlers getting together. We drive around for sports games and tourists and around downtown and everything. So I got started there, and it was a crazy hustle, and it was always something new every day.
Wow.
We'll have to post a picture of a pedicab in the show notes so people can.
I'll definitely have to put that there for sure. So did you work your entire time through college then doing this, or did you do something else while you're going through school, or?
Yeah, so it's pretty seasonal. Mm-hmm. You know, right about April through October, and then there's a little bit of football through December or so. But it was really cool to be able to just be blowing my friends out of the water with how much money I was making doing that. You know, rides can go for $20 up to 100, depending on the distance. Mm-hmm. And making that at you know, age 18 and coming home with a couple of $100 for riding a tricycle around all day was pretty cool. So that kind of opened my eyes to a lot of things. You know, value-based pricing, who can find the most value in what I do. Hustle, hard work, you know, you can't give up in the middle of a ride because you're tired. And a lot of sales and customer service. You know, I'm just driving around yelling whatever I can at people to get them to hop in and pay me a bunch of money to take them somewhere. So it was a big learning curve there, my first real sales gig. And it was so informal, it was perfect.
Oh, wow. So you actually have to yell things at them versus them saying taxi, taxi, or in your case, pedicab, pedicab.
Huh. Exactly. Yeah. Unless there's a crazy demand, then, you know, you got to go out there and hustle, or else you're not going to make it.
So what are the things that you found out you actually yelling worked, like, and what didn't work?
You know, like a lot of things, you kind of have to figure out another way to get in the door. So there's one location up in Seattle called Pike Place Market, and huge tourist destination, tons of cool stuff, and really bumpy bricks all over the place. So anytime I would see a girl walking through in heels, I tell them, you know, you're gonna fall down, you're gonna hurt yourself. You need to come up and take a seat. Let me take you around the market. And they would just crack up, and you know, a handful of them would just hop in and go for it. Or, you know, just look, talking to people that are lost, that are obviously lost, helping them with directions, and then asking to take them there. So there's a million ways to do it. Just figuring out a few of them is always fun. And like I said, it's so informal. Like, you can say anything you want to try and get people in, and sometimes it'll work.
Wow. So you actually are having to fill a small niche there and making things fit into their situation. Because, yeah, it's... You know, for me, I would think that, you know, if maybe a tourist was, especially if you put yourself in the right spot, kind of like, you know, how food trucks do it. If you put mm-hmm. yourself in the right spot, then people are just going to assume that, oh, yeah, you know, I probably should ride that. But in your case, what you're saying is that that's not necessarily the case. So interesting. Okay.
Cool. I think girls in high heels and that offer was a stroke of genius on your part. Just saying.
Yeah, it makes it a no-brainer if they're barely standing up. You know, find those pain points, guys. No matter what you sell, find those pain points. Because if you're walking around in hiking boots in the market, you're gonna have no problem.
So what you then ended up going to? Did you work your way through school then, or did you go to school?
Yeah. So I went to college for a couple of years, studied business there. Mm-hmm. And then after I got out, I moved into insurance with a multi-level marketing company. It was a hellish experience that really taught me a lot. And it was a trip, but that, you know, completely flipped up my skills, took them to another level, everything from sales, customer service, once again, hard work, you know, kind of navigating all of that at once, and yeah. Completely opposite setting, extremely formal, you know, it's an hour long application process, sales process, you know, have to do medical checks and everything like that. Yeah, so this is completely opposite than a $20 pedicab ride to the sports stadium, you know?
Oh yeah, totally. And I only recently learned that there were MLM/insurance opportunities out there, and to put both of them together, it's like, wow. Because I mean, for one, you got to get over the stigma of MLMs, and then once you do that, you're okay with that. You still got to deal with the other stigma of trying to, you know, bring people in with insurance. And it's just, that just seems like it might just be kind of like the ultimate, if you don't have like I guess your own funnel of people that are already interested, then yeah, it kind of seems like that would be kind of a really big uphill battle for sure.
Yeah, it was. But, you know, like anyone that gets into MLM, they have to sell you on the job, and they hit me on a few good things I was looking for. Mm-hmm. You know, one, I was straight out of college. I wanted to get into a more professional job. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to have my income capped or be salaried. So right. I knew there was potential for bigger commissions. Like I said, stubborn. So I wanted to be able to set my own schedule. And so they kind of just hit all those points for me, brought me in. And it was a very, very challenging experience. I learned a ton. I learned a lot about what I can avoid going forward. I'm really glad that I got into that before I moved into the online business world, because after I left that, my BS meter was off the charts. So I could easily identify those bad opportunities and then skip on them.
That's brilliant. I really love the way that you put that, especially like it was cool that you, first of all, you found a job that matched what you wanted to do in terms of income and your time. And then you found out like the BS was kind of sucked, but I'm curious to know what kind of, from there you moved into online, what kind of lifestyle are you actually like living these days?
So right now I am speaking to you guys from Medellin, Colombia. I got down here about 2 months ago. And I, you know, the whole 2016, I was talking about how I wanted to go travel. I had a Spain trip, kind of half baked, and then like a multiple five-figure deal fell through, and that would have just, you know, been the cushion and everything that would have brought me there. So that didn't happen, unfortunately. So I finally, you know, worked my way back up, saved up some more money, and just put it on the books. I got my flights before I figured anything else out. I got my flights, then I got an Airbnb later, and then I came here, and then I figured out what the heck I was going to do here. So that was kind of always on my mind to do the digital nomad thing, and just see the world, go. Enjoy other cultures and meet new people and have some adventures. So that's pretty much what I've been doing recently. And it's all thanks to kind of the business development of my agency over the last year and a half or so.
Mm. Yeah. Go ahead.
I'm also curious to know, like you said, you were in an Airbnb. Are you still doing Airbnb, or what kind of housing situation have you found?
Just moved over to a new apartment for my last month here.
Awesome.
So as you're traveling around, I got to ask, I mean, do you So are you really big into the hacking, the travel code sort of thing, or do you not so worry about that because of the income you're bringing in, or?
Not too worried about it for a couple reasons. You know, yeah, the income is nice, but like, it's so cheap down here. It's crazy cheap. And on my way back to the States, so I'm coming back in April, I'm going to go through Florida, for a conference and some other meetups there, Atlanta, Santa Barbara, LA, and then finally back to Seattle. And the total of my flights all the way back is like, I think it's like $450 for all those stops. So if it's that cheap and I'm finding that good of deals on Google Flights, I'm not going to take the time to open 7 credit cards and figure out how to hack the point system, you know?
Right. Google Flights. I guess I didn't hear about that. How long has that been?
Oh, yeah. A while. It's kind of like the other travel sites where it's the aggregate of different airlines. But they don't skim any fees off the top or anything because they're Google. They don't need to do that.
right. Exactly. Huh. Cool. I'll definitely put that in the show notes because I didn't even know that was a thing. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, put it in your notes.
Right.
So before you got into entrepreneurship full time, did you ever consider like other means of making money, like bank robbery or
oh, of course,
anything like that?
Yeah, always. No, but the another point I realized I was an entrepreneur was I was probably, you know, 17 or 18 or so before I started the pedicab, and I was hanging out with a friend of mine, and I was just kind of sitting there thinking, I was like, man, I should really come up with, you know, a good hustle. I want to figure out how to make some money. And he said, a job is a good hustle. And I never laughed so hard in my life. I was like, I really don't want to do that if I can avoid it. So I was just cracking up. So that was kind of one of those moments where it was like, okay, I really have to figure out how to get this together if I want to make this entrepreneurship thing happen. So even starting on a smaller scale with pedicab, making good money, you know, first business license at age 18. It really started me off and kind of got me addicted.
That's really cool, especially what you said about like you laughed. You literally laughed when he said a job is a good hustle. What was it like? And I imagine that's quite different from a lot of your friends growing up, because obviously that was his point of view, is a job is a good hustle. But like, what was it that for you at the beginning made you know, like, okay, a job is not the kind of thing I want to do?
I think, you know, there's just so much stigma around jobs that I believe in, you know, the monotony, the repetitiveness, lack of creativity, kind of just like sit down, shut up, take orders, and we'll make sure you can pay your rent at the end of every month. And I knew there's just so many other ways to think outside of the box and make a living and have fun while you're doing it, and really be able to make a bigger impact than just signing up for a job. So that always stood out to me. And then I just figured out how to make it happen and did it.
Mm. Wow. So more recently, again, you're doing more digital media sort of stuff. And again, you got your podcast, and, you know, you're really big this year in growing your online presence and networking.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that I get from a lot of older folks still from time to time, I just was just at a council meeting just the other day. It was, again, this phrase, I don't want to mix business and pleasure. LinkedIn is for business. Facebook is for family. And I even had that from some millennials the other day, you know, not too long ago. It's just like, guys, you're missing the boat. What exactly do you say to someone like that? How do you switch their mind to see Facebook as a place for business as well?
Yeah, so I'm not going to try and switch everyone's mind. I think there's always the message matters more than the medium, but the medium kind of dictates how you can portray your message, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
So by that, I mean, you know, Instagram is really visual. Very short form content, you know, motivational quotes and quick videos. And that's not my style. and things like LinkedIn, like you said, I think LinkedIn is a little stiff. It's not my style either. And why I really chose and thrive on Facebook is for two reasons. One, because I jumped into Facebook groups for business about two years ago, once everyone started realizing that was kind of a cool way that they could build a personal brand, is to build a community online. So I didn't start my group until, you know, about 7 months ago, but I had been a group member in all of these other places and had been able to soak up and see what was going on and how people branded and got engagement, interaction, and grew their businesses with it. So I really love it because of the community feel. It's a discussion forum as well as a branding channel. Mm-hmm. So once I kind of had that epiphany that all the terrible Facebook groups use it as a marketing channel and all the thriving ones use it as a community hub and a branding channel, that's when my group took off. It took me like 6 months to go from 0 to 1,000 members. Took me another month to double it after I you know, doubled down on my content strategy. And in the last 2 months since then, added another 5,000 members. And this is without spamming people, getting them in. This is without paying for advertising to grow the group. It blew up. So it's been really cool to see that and foster this community of like-minded young entrepreneurs.
Right. That's 5,000 new members in a 2 month span with no advertising, just your content?
Yeah, so content, backlinks, as well as the Facebook algorithm. So, you know, no one knows the real secret sauce behind the Facebook algorithm, but we know that when groups get more engagement, they show up as suggested more often because Facebook wants people to enjoy Facebook. So the more content you can put out that people like and comment and engage with and watch, the more your posts go out to different group members. The more engagement overall you get in a group, the more Facebook sees your group as favorable and starts sending it out to other people. You get higher on the SEO search results for Facebook. So I did a poll the other day, and I asked how people came to the group. Well, one that really kicked it off was we got featured on Fast Company, and we added about 1,000 people in a day. And that was awesome. It was like a roundup article that talked about the best Facebook groups for business, and we were like number 3. So it definitely gave us a boost there. And then the engagement just kind of skyrocketed even more with the influx of members. And you know, I really try and figure out how to make my group the best group on the planet for young entrepreneurs and really give them what they want and help them bring their business to the next level.
Cool. Do you have like a couple of do's and don'ts that you do see groups that are not doing it right, but you know, you've learned otherwise how to do it right?
Yeah, absolutely. So the biggest don't is to add people to your groups. Like, you'll get the notification that Arnie added you to his group. It's like, oh, I don't care, I didn't ask to join Arnie's group. It's like, it's like getting thrown into a dance off that you didn't sign up for. It's like, no, this is awkward, I don't want to be here.
I love that analogy, a dance off you didn't sign up for.
yeah it's like, no, I didn't ask for this. Get me out of here. So yeah, it's a lot like that. And really, the number one secret sauce, you guys probably already know this, but it is consistency in posting, consistency in branding, and really just kind of working on making your community a place that people could hang out in. So I have this thing I call the 1 hour test, where if your ideal group member could come in your group and scroll through the wall and get lost for an hour and enjoy it and not feel spammed and find things valuable, then you are on the right track. But if you have the same 7 rotating posts in buffer and there's the last 28 posts are those, then they're going to get bored and leave. So it's always about figuring out how to really keep it interesting, keep it valuable, You know, be a good leader, clean up the spam, and just really get people to remember you.
As a fellow content creator, I'm kind of curious. Do you put most of your content in your group, or do you put it off site and onto your blog somewhere, or how does that work for you?
Yeah, mostly the group actually. So I had to make this decision a while ago as well. Like I said, it's message over the medium. So especially with a group size like mine, or even a couple of months ago when I had a few thousand members, I could post native to Facebook, and that's the best way you're going to get people to consume your content, is if you're posting it where they're already at. And, you know, like a lot of people, they'll post YouTube links on Facebook instead of just posting the video to Facebook. And I think that's just kind of dumb. You know, if you want them to watch your video, give them the video. Don't make them go somewhere else to watch it. So my content strategy is like 99% native. And being a Facebook marketer and sales funnel creator, I figured out how to, you know, get good headlines, get good engagement, catch people's interest, and really try and break up their endless news feeds scrolling to come check out my stuff and hang out.
Interesting.
You're talking about your Facebook group, and did you say that you're a marketing funnels expert? Or
so my bread and butter is the sales funnels.
Okay, so what is the sales funnel to you? What does it mean to you?
Basically just the incremental process of bringing people from awareness to interest, desire, and action, as we all know the copy formula, and just really figuring out how to get people to the next step in your value ladder and put the right messaging in front of the right people to make that happen as easy as possible.
So for you, is your funnel primarily just the Facebook funnel right now? Or is there other funnels that you do?
Yeah, so there's a few other ones and a few more in the works. So yeah, right now, super, super, super secret, guys. It's still under wraps. But I'm working on an awesome system to be able to help give my group members more resources depending on where they're at in the journey. So it's going to have a lot to do with automation, segmentation, really pulling people in and kind of surveying them on autopilot, and then pointing them towards other free paid affiliate resources that I have in my network, and just really figuring out how to give people exactly what they want.
So imagine just for a second that you were my grandma listening to this, and you were trying to explain to her what a marketing funnel was. How would you do that?
I would ask her if she's ever gotten any flyers from the dry cleaners, and if she ever went into the dry cleaners after that. If so, that's the sales funnel.
That's awesome. So I'm curious, who did you originally learn marketing funnels from?
Mostly Russell Brunson, as well as Dan Henry. Those are my two go-to guys.
I love both those guys. Dan Henry did a Facebook Live the other night with his wife, and she was talking about how he needed to just stop making so much money. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, Dan's the man. I took his Facebook course when it launched, when it was like in beta. So he's definitely been a huge influence in my online marketing journey.
Awesome. Cool.
Awesome. What had you originally be like, yeah, this is for me, when you saw his course, or when you saw, like, first heard about marketing funnels? Like, what was your first introduction to it? And then what made you be like, yes, this is perfect?
Well, my first real introduction to it came from a pain point of mine, which was before my agency moved into sales funnels and Facebook ads. What we were doing was, I had, like you said in the intro, I had teams that would do mobile apps and websites and branding and this, that, and the third. And it wasn't very focused, so I didn't have a strong brand myself. And then I started adding in some of my own services, like email marketing, a little bit of kind of general online presence consulting. But I was really getting all these small fish and people that would balk at, you know, a couple hundred bucks for an email system or a campaign setup. And I was just tired of it, you know. I was kind of, you know, making pennies out of this work that I know could bring people more value. So at one point last year, I got a client for email marketing, and it was an e-commerce space, and they had a 90,000 person list. And I was able to charge them like multiple four figures, like 10 times as much as what I had been trying to get from these other e-commerce startups. So that was my huge, huge, huge game-changing epiphany that you really need to work on value-based pricing and find people who are able to receive that value you're ready to bring. So that changed up everything for me in the sense that I saw, you know, people that were doing the same exact types of work, but getting paid that much more. And I wanted to figure out how to do that on a different scale. And, you know, marketing and funnels is a lot easier to sell. It's like, I can help you sell stuff, not just I can, you know, help send stuff to your existing email list or help create a website for you. I will be able to generate your leads and bring them through a process that sells something. So when you're able to do that and get linked up with the right companies, you're able to hugely increase the value you bring them and hugely increase your income as well. So that was kind of the epiphany I had at that moment. And that's when I really, you know, double triple down on all of Dan's training, Russell's training, and just started implementing all over the place, and then later on getting clients for this as well.
Good deal. What's a good resource for value-based pricing if people don't know what that is?
I don't have one at the top of my head, but another example would be, think about like SEO. So any, you know, legit SEO company is gonna be charging low to mid four figures. And it wouldn't make sense for somebody who sells, you know, coffee to sign up for SEO. But if they sell, you know, plumbing services, where average gigs are a lot higher than a $3 coffee, you're working with the people you can bring the most value to. And then that justifies the increase in your rates for the same exact service. So that's what I hugely encourage anyone in any service-based business to do, is look at, you know, break down what you do and who it helps and why it helps them, and then try and find those bigger players that can, you know, really, really receive that value in another place. Because so, most of the people that say they don't have a budget, they either don't trust you or they're not in the position to receive a lot of value from what you do at the rates you charge.
You just gave me an idea. I've been teaching languages the past couple of weeks and charging like $150 for like 1 hour classes. But I was thinking, if I market it to diplomats, who go to a different
country. Yeah, you'll be balling. Do it.
Expats and all those.
Right? Yeah. Military. No,
they're broke. They're broke.
Oh, expats are broke. Yeah. Diplomats, maybe.
Yeah, diplomats, presidents.
Presidents. Yes.
Cool. So 2017 already, man. We're already a fourth of the way through already. What do you got going on besides, you know, building up the group more and some of the things that you're excited for coming up?
Yeah. So I'm really excited for, like you said, it's crazy. It's almost the end of first quarter just now. And I'm happy to have hit some of my big goals. I missed some of my other ones. Coming up, I'm super excited to first off finish up this trip in Colombia. I had an amazing time here, and then I'm off to Florida to go hang with some friends and clients, and then a conference in Florida as well. And then I'm going to Atlanta, Georgia. I'm going to be meeting up with some group members that are throwing a little event with me. And then going to LA, doing the same thing, get my West Coast group members together. Santa Barbara with the family after that, back to Seattle, and then New York, Spain, and then back to Colombia. So I'm just going all over the place, really just experiencing a lot of things, meeting a lot of people. And just continuing to push on so many of these different directions of my my business and my brand, and making some great progress. So happy to be doing it.
Sounds like a laid back itinerary.
I lay back when I get there, but yeah, always something going on.
Good deal. Well, so ready for the rapid fire questions, good sir.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. First one, what are your three top favorite books that you tell others about?
Ooh, good question. So one of them that I really liked was The Everything Store, about Amazon and Jeff Bezos. It's by Brad Stone. And it's pretty much the entire startup story of Amazon, from them selling books out of their garage to becoming this multi-billion dollar company. Mm-hmm. And it's cool, you know, being from Seattle too, I kind of saw the meteoric rise of them. So really getting the in-depth look at their operations and big moves. And that was just a huge eye opener. I think I read that when I was about 18, and like, I knew some stuff about business. I was studying it, but kind of seeing that immense of a company being born and growing and the inner workings of it was just mind blowing. So another one is definitely .com Secrets by Russell Brunson. That is like, if you're going to sell anything online ever, you need to read that book 5 times. It is going to fill you with so much foundational knowledge and even more advanced strategies to help you sell things. And not only the tools, but the strategies and the psychology. It's crazy how much of that stuff has helped me in my business and helped my clients. Definitely that one. Let's see, what's another favorite one? One book I've read probably 5 or 6 times and reread different passages of is called Influence, The Psychology of Persuasion, mm-hmm. by, I think his name is Robert Cialdini or something like that. Mm-hmm. And it is just really great, completely timeless, all about the psychology of sales and marketing, and figuring out why people react the way they react, and kind of breaking down these different pieces of it. So I've been able to use that over and over and over again in my sales and marketing career, and pull from different pieces of it to get some pretty great results. So I'd say those are my top three. There's plenty more, but yeah. All right, next question.
What is something you wish was still a thing?
Something I wish was still a thing. MySpace. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know. what do I wish was still a thing? Well, that's a good question. I know. Kind of like in the early 2000s was the whole, it was like the gold rush for Google AdWords, where you could pay pennies to get keywords and sell info products. And, you know, I was too young. I missed that ship. But I've got some friends that were able to make, you know, 6-7 figures plus a year just by buying keywords and then having, you know, affiliate offers or, you know, simple info products, and just gaming the math of that before everything got convoluted and too complicated and too much competition. So I think that would have been a really fun bandwagon to jump on and print some money on until the well ran dry.
Yeah, I actually remember when I was in grad school, one of my students was really big into that, and pay-per-click and all those different things for sure. So,
mm-hmm.
What's the smallest decision you've made that has the largest impact on your life?
I say I don't drink at all. Mm-hmm. So yeah, been about a year since I haven't drank, and that has made a huge impact in terms of health, energy, focus, time, all of that. I just kind of made the decision that that's not how I wanted to live going forward. You know, being hungover and going out partying and kind of hanging around the people that like to drink a lot.
Right.
So yeah. When I made that change, I had, you know, a huge new amount of time that I could put towards more productive things, and build my business. And, you know, here I am.
Good deal.
What basic life skill are you constantly amazed people lack?
Just kind of decency in networking. There's so many people that'll just run up and ask for favors immediately, or want you to totally do everything for them, and like they show up and they haven't even given you a compliment, or they haven't even, you know, asked how they can help you. It's like, I had one guy that was in my inbox the other day saying, pretty much, hey, you know, I want to start a business online. What should I do? I was like, oh, you know, we just had a post on this in the group. You should go check it out. He's like, but I want to make money now. Tell me how to make money now. I was like, I don't even know you. Like, I'm not a magic genie, bro. I can't help you there.
I got this group.
Wow. Go check it out.
Dude, that totally brings up one of the things I saw of Gary Vee last week. He went like one of the best flicks or talks that he's done on a Ask Gary Vee session, and there was a gal that literally calls in, or he was doing calls. He was calling people because, you know, you could submit your phone number and he'll actually call you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, this one dude was kind of the same way, and Gary was just like, you just need to work your craft. You just need to just mm-hmm. build your craft, learn it, give yourself some time to figure it out. You're not going to do it overnight, period.
Yeah.
The second girl, though, and she was just right out of college, you know, she was talking about how she didn't know what she wanted to do. Like, she was, you know, interested in this, interested in that, interested in this, blah, 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 blah. And it was really interesting how Gary, who, you know, normally you think is like really, you know, kind of super aggressive, he wasn't so aggressive with her. He actually legitimately, it turned into an interest, almost a coaching session with her. Because mm-hmm. he was on the phone, was asking her deep questions, and he was like, don't give me that BS with whatever he was, you know, she would come up with, because I can see straight through you. I've been where you're at. Don't give me that nonsense. And yeah, I'll definitely put this one up on the show notes, but I'll link you as well to it, just so you can see it, because I'm sure you're a fan of Gary, just like everybody else. So,
oh, yeah.
Good deal. Good deal. How can someone be a difference maker in their community, on or offline?
Just really figure out where you have a leg up on people, and then help bring them up to your level. It's, you know, as simply as you can put it, figure out where you have experience, resources, connections, anything like that, mm-hmm. and then share that with people. You know, it really doesn't have to be you. You don't have to be Bill Gates philanthropy. You don't have to start at 10,000 charities. But if you can help someone, you know, even on a small scale, like that's how you show up with value and just support the people around you.
Hmm. Cool. I like that.
If someone can get anything out of this interview in terms of, they listen to it, they're looking to start their own business, what are the next three steps you'd say that they'd take immediately?
I'd say immediately figure out what you don't want to put up with. You know, like I said about, there's no way I'm going to be sitting behind a desk all day. I don't want to be stuck in some lame role that doesn't allow me to be creative. Figure out your non-negotiables in that sense, and then look outside of the box on, okay, what does fit into, you know, outside of that. And that's really how you're going to start your own lifestyle design, like how I was able to decide and put concrete plans in place to start traveling the world. I decided that's something that I wanted, and then I kind of broke down on how to make it possible. So it took plenty of time. It took a lot of energy and practice, but that's what you have to do. You have to figure out what your ideal, you know, life and situation looks like, and then start breaking down and taking action on the chunks that will get you there. So yeah, that's a big step one. And really, 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 really focus on skilling up. Your unique advantage will always be in how much value you can bring to people. And like I said about value-based pricing, you can skyrocket that when you're working for the right people, but you have to have those skills and strategies and systems in the first place. So really getting a strong foundational knowledge in whatever field you want to be great at, pick some great mentors, soak up all the resources, really run through as much as you can to improve your craft, and put in the work, take the action. Let's see. Number three is, so this is a great saying. A friend of mine, Frank Sala, said the other day. He said, "Figure out how to play the game on easy mode." And that doesn't mean don't hustle. It doesn't mean don't work hard. What it means is figuring out, what is going to make your life easier in terms of systems, in terms of connections, in terms of automation, partnerships. It's like figuring out how to invent the wheel for your life. You don't want to be carrying the stone around, so you got to make the edges round, and then you just get to push it around, and you're doing the same heavy lifting with a whole lot less effort. So figure out how to play the game on easy, and just figure out how to make it happen.
Yeah, that's key right there. And if people need more help doing exactly what you said, where are the best places they can find you?
Best place they can find me is over in the Millennial Entrepreneur Community on Facebook. Mm-hmm. You can find us by typing that into the search bar, Millennial Entrepreneur Community, or if you've got your browser up, you can go to bit.ly/ArneGroup. That's /ArneGroup. And that's where it all goes down, guys. That's the community. We all hang out there and support each other, share a bunch of strategies, and help each other get to the next level. So I'd love to see all the listeners there and be able to support you guys even further.
All right. Well, thanks so much, Arnie, for coming on. It was definitely a pleasure and a lot of different rabbit holes to go down, that's for sure.
yeah, you can get lost in this interview. Yeah. I really appreciate it, you guys. I had a lot of fun, and I hope you guys all take something out of that and take action.
Again, a big thanks to Arnie for coming on with us. One thing we didn't mention in the show is that he has a podcast as well that you'll be able to check out. Also, just as this episode is going out, Arnie finds himself in Florida and will be attending Dan Henry's AdCon this weekend. So if you're going to that event yourself, you might see him there. The link to that show, as well as the conference and many of the different topics we discussed today, will be in the show notes. And show note extras for this session include some videos of Arnie doing his thing and what you can expect to find in the Millennial Entrepreneur Community. When Daniel and I had a discussion with Arnie, he was still in Colombia. In the first video, it's a sample of Arnie just simply living life, and he shares what he's up to, plus adds a few nuggets of great knowledge. Next up, I have a sample of his interviewing skills work, and in this segment, he's talking with Katya Sarmiento, who's big into using chatbots for business development. If you're not sure what chatbots are, they're kind of an alternative to email marketing. And instead of sending out an email, the bot just sends out a message on Facebook that you've made for the entire group in that particular list. One good one that I've seen work is the Land Geek chatbot, which you can find at thelandgeek.com, just to kind of get an idea of what it might look like. In the third video, it's another short one with Arnie, but it's simply a quick AMA that he did with his group because he simply was waiting for his Lyft ride. It goes to show you how he makes himself really, really accessible. And from what I can tell, I think that's how he's been able to do so well with his group. Finally, the fourth video is that Ask Gary Vee episode that I mentioned in the chat. I posted this over at the blog this week as well, but I wanted to make sure that those of you who listen to the show see this one too. So that's it for today's session. Thanks again for joining us. As you know, we love hearing from you guys. Our two most recent reviews were left by Harold Ree and Inspired Joyful. Harold said JC has a great relaxed interview style and has brought some amazing guests in
business, and leadership. Important podcast for those who want to transform their life. Then Inspired Joyful said, "This show has a heart-centered and thought-provoking focus, something I seek out with a world so often focused on drama and discord. Love the easygoing vibe and useful info to help us all live more successfully doing what we love. Thank you guys for the reviews. Totally appreciate it. And when I set out to create my first podcast here that you guys are listening to, again, session 84 already, that's what I wanted to produce, an easy listening podcast focused on connection and deep conversation with fellow creatives. You know, I'm glad that that's what you guys are getting out of it. But those of you who haven't left a review, I'd love to hear what you think of the show. You can do that by leaving a review on the iTunes page by going to newinceptions.com/AOL iTunes. And, you know, whenever I get those, I'll be sure to read them on here. Also, if you want to connect with any of us directly regarding any feedback or questions you have, drop us that email via heyguys@newinceptions.com. Also, if you want to connect with Arnie directly or any of our past guests, you can do that by going to the AOL networking group on Facebook. Again, there you can find all of our past guests, other listeners, and members of the New Inceptions team. Ask us any questions you have, or if you want, let us know what projects you're currently working on. You can find that group by going to newinceptions.com/AOL networking. In next week's episode, Daniel and I team up again, but this time we're interviewing a guy who we got on for you gamers in the group. Franz Cavatorta is the founder of Sky Warrior Themes, a design group who started with gamer guilds and clans in mind by helping them create awesome websites. Recently, he did an Ask Me Anything session on Reddit that talked a little bit about his success, but I wanted to know more. So I had him on to find out how he got into developing themes for gamers and what his lifestyle is like. And he was actually talking to us from the Canary Islands at the time. So kind of gives you a little bit of an insight. But yeah, even developers can be regular travelers. But that one comes out next week. Be sure to like the New Inceptions page on Facebook to get informed when it's released. And yeah, that's pretty much all there is to session 84. Thank you for joining Arnie, Daniel, and myself today. And until next time, gang, dig in, have fun, and take care in whatever you're creating. And we'll see you back here next time.
Thanks for listening to the Angles of Latitude podcast. Connect with us at home, at work, or on the go at facebook.com/newinceptions, on Twitter @newinceptions, Instagram @new.inceptions, and on the web @newinceptions.com.